Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here for another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Very excited today to have an associate that I've known for the past 5 years, I think. Joe Martin, along with us for the ride, as always, right? Joe kind of keeps everybody fair and unbalanced here and unfiltered, right? But we have Jennifer Cook with us today. Jennifer, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. Now, listen, I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. And I want everybody to hear because we hear all kinds of stories about how great owning a business can be. And we don't always cover, right? I think you hear it, think of like the duck situation, all's calm up top, but the paddling and everything that's happening underneath the water. And I know you well enough to know that over the last 5 years, that while you have built a big vision for yourself, it hasn't been without its hurdles. So I just kind of wanted to kind of have a conversation about what the last 4 years, while it's been deliberate, right, it's been an experience. Is that fair to say?
Hold on, Jennifer, before you go any further, Dave, can you reenact that hand motion for the duck? Can you do that again?
Gotcha. Thank you. That'll be our lead in.
All right. Jennifer, now you can take us to a serious spot. I just want to see Dave do that again as a grown man. That was awesome.
Hey, that's kind of how I've been the last couple of years of just running around trying to play catch up to all of the things that have been happening.
So let's start from the beginning, right? And so let's go back. So 5 years ago, you were with another brokerage, right? You had your license about 18 months, but you were dual career at that time, right? And you were a operations manager for a dental organization, and you were kind of doing everything and running that organization. What? Yes. And where did you decide to make a decision that I want to go into business for myself and I want to make real estate that profession and set my own course?
Sure. So I think it was a lot of different things, events that kind of happened over my life. I bought my first house in 2009, and that experience of seeing the market at such a low point and experiencing and learning, it was really an experience that just kind of stuck with me over the years. But I was a single mom, and so there was no way I was switching careers. I was good at what I did. And then 9 years later, I bought my second townhouse and turned that first one into a rental property. And during that process, the agent that was helping me was like, you should really get your license. Like you're really good at this. And so I did get my license, but it was just to do like part-time or help friends or family. And then COVID happened and shut the dental practice down. And I was already really big in giving back to my community. And because we really, you know, real estate agents weren't locked down. So I just started driving around and helping people pick up prescriptions and drop off groceries and things like that. And 2 months later, I had six people under contract. And my husband looked at me and said, I've never seen you so happier. And so that was kind of, I think, the moment where I realized I've done lots of different things over my life, but I finally felt like I found home, if that makes sense. And so we opened, the world opened back up and we went back to normal. And I just quickly realized that being stuck behind a desk, and I loved my patients, I loved helping them, but being stuck behind that desk just wasn't who I was. I bought businesses, and so I felt like I've learned a lot over my career, the different careers I've had, and I just felt like it was time to try to do it for myself.
Now, when people jump into entrepreneurship, there's usually, you know, a factor, and I get that you recognize, but was there any influencers around you that made you realize like, hey, this is something that I can do for myself, or was just something inert for you?
Finding Keller Williams and realizing, so I was with another brokerage, and then there were two real estate agents that I was following on Facebook, and I called them up and I said, hey, who's your broker? Why'd you choose them? And they were both with KW United in Falls Church. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so I met Sheila Quadros. And she, I think, was really that courage that I needed. Going through the KPA process, going through learning about Keller Williams and all of the different things that they offer an entrepreneur outside of just doing real estate really spoke to me. And it just, you know, walking through the office, meeting everybody, learning that other agents have investment properties or other businesses, and the, you know, learning the seven streams of income and that sort of stuff, it just felt like I was ready to finally take that leap and leave a really good career in dentistry to like just follow my dreams.
You know, it's, there takes a lot of courage to kind of say like, I can do this, right? Especially kind of coming over and out of the COVID, which for all intents and purposes didn't really hit us the way that we thought it was going in the real estate market, right? That kind of came after when we all kind of got freed out a little bit. But by the time we got out and after, you had figured some things out, right? And you've systematically built your business to a very high sustainable level from a growth standpoint, happened pretty, you hear the statement slowly but suddenly, but I think that fits you to a T as far as how that happened for you. What do you attribute that to?
For me, it's just giving back to my community, I think was huge, kind of to launch my real estate business. I would just post on my Facebook, like, hey, like, I'm here if you need me. I've helped this person. What can I do for you? I did a lot of giving back to elementary schools in my community. We do the same events every year, and just kind of breathing life into my community really, I think, is what fueled my business in the beginning. And now, you know, more systems, doing the touches and making sure to stay in contact with those past clients, really focusing on referrals, has also been a really great part of my system.
And let's kind of touch on the growth side, right? Because we can go back to the duck again, but there's a lot of trial and error. Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's it's purposeful, right? As you figure out your way through the processes, but there's a lot of like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And there's happy accidents, right? And then there's the days where we have to sit down and have a conversation. But what have been some of those learning experiences? If you look back and you were to talk to Jen back then about what you were about to go through, what conversation would you have with yourself?
I think for me, in the beginning, I lost a lot of sleep, always worried about who was I going to, how was I going to find that next person that I wanted to help, right? And so, you know, they talk about lead generating and we're in the business of people and things like that. And I think my business in the beginning was so organic that I never really had to sit down and do your typical lead gen for a period of time. So I think I would tell myself to start putting those systems in place sooner, and learning how to do purposeful lead gen, and then also get some sleep because it's going to be okay. I think would be kind of like what I would tell her to just relax.
Now, you had mentioned that when you got started, you were taken through a process, which we call the KPA. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's for those of you that are listening that don't truly understand what they're like, it's an evaluation or an understanding of who you are and what your strengths are. But having done that, and as you have looked to build your team and businesses, right, what has that learning curve been like for you? And how did you hire somebody the first time? And what does that process look like now when you're trying to identify talent?
So hiring and leveraging is one of my like hardest tasks, I think, being an entrepreneur with businesses, because it is learning to communicate and work with multiple different personalities. And I've always kind of been the person that it was just me in that role. So like the businesses I worked for, like the dental office, it was only me. So there wasn't really the need to have to mesh with other personalities. So that's been a really big learning experience for me of like going through the KPA, going through the DISC assessment, sitting down, slowing down the hiring process to have those conversations that, or even ask the questions that could be uncomfortable. So you know that, is this person really what I need for this particular role, or can they fit somewhere else inside the company? So having the tools like the KPA and the DISC assessment has been extremely beneficial for me.
Let me ask you a hard question. Have you gone through turnover?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have also, that's kind of another thing that I would probably tell myself, like the whole, I always get it wrong. So please correct me, but it's like, if you find somebody who can do 80% of what you would do, like they're the rock star, keep them, hold on tight to them. And I think that in the beginning, I did expect people to work as hard as I work or be as passionate as I am. And I've definitely learned that that is not the case. So there's been turnover. Finding an assistant was the first thing I tried to do. And it was, I think I've had like 4 or 5 different assistants and I still haven't found the right one yet. So still looking.
You're one step closer to the right one, right?
That's right. I've learned something new about each time I've gone through the hiring process. I've learned something new and I've grown from it. So I'm very thankful. And we've always left amicably. We just realized like it just wasn't a good fit for us. And I do have someone now that it's a much better fit, but she's more on the director of operations side versus my actual assistant. And she's fabulous. So
let me ask you, and I look at this and I, you know, hear about your growth. Do you think it's as much about finding the person or how much you've changed and who you are as a leader that maybe has consistently made that a moving target?
I think it's both for sure. I mean, I've read a lot of books, and a lot of like, you know, I'm like at the gym or working out, I don't listen to music, I listen to audiobooks. So reading those and just kind of like working on myself, has been, you know, it is a moving target. I think it's always going to be a moving target. I don't know if it'll ever, I'll never stop growing and stop getting better. So there's always going to be a need.
Well, it sounds funny, but you know, understanding that and realizing how much we grow when we change literally through reading, through experiences, and it's not necessarily an instantaneous shift, but it is the continuous shift when you allow yourself to be that way. So, you know, kudos to you for recognizing and allowing it at the same time.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a journey, right? Like, I don't ever want to be stagnant.
Now, while you're doing this, you thought at the same time, one business wasn't enough. Why do one when I can do multiple?
Yes.
So take me through this. So you're building a successful real estate practice. My understanding, roughly 2 years into it, you kind of started, maybe even sooner, I'm not 100% sure. You said, you know what, I have a need in my business for a staging company. Mm-hmm. How did that materialize?
So I had a listing. It was back in 2019. So I got licensed May of 2019, and this was at the end of 2019. And I was trying to navigate to prepare the house for the market. And I've always been one to be in interior design and renovations and living in that world. And so all the recommendations I was making, she was not listening to. And like she painted her house, the inside, like sunshine yellow, because she didn't like gray, even though gray was the color at that time. And so I was looking through my email one day and I saw an email that was, you know, credited staging professional class. And I thought, well, if I get that piece of paper, then my next client, I can say, no, I do know what I'm talking about. Here's my paper. So let me help you prepare your house for the market. And it also, I felt like I was good at it already, just kind of increased my value add. And then through the channels of Facebook, again, real estate agents started tagging me in other requests for stagers. And I was just at this time doing my own listings. And the first agent, he called me up. I told him, I said, look, I'm an agent. I've never worked for another agent, but if you need my help, like I'll help you. And then he used me a few more times and started referring me. And then it's just kind of snowballed into a company where we have an 18 square foot warehouse with 21 foot ceilings. We've got 11 houses staged right now. We're working on about three or four more over the next couple of weeks. We've got a team of people. So I just saw a need, and if somebody needs me, I try to help them. And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Gotcha.
I have a question. You have, you're a serial entrepreneur at this point, right?
Apparently, yes.
Right. And when you think about the shift into entrepreneurialism, and I say this because I think there's a beauty of it, because most entrepreneurs see a gap in value or a gap in service, and they're like irritated by it, right? So you're kind of like, I'm irritated by the fact that like I could do better than this. A lot of people get into real estate because they had a bad experience with the realtor, and they're like, oh, I could be better at this than this person is, so I'm going to go fix something. Like, so if you think about the heart of entrepreneurialism, it's like at a local level, there's a gap, and I see the gap, and I know that I can fill that gap so somebody has an amazing experience or amazing product or service. And so doing, I get compensated for that value. Like, that's just kind of, you know, economy. For you, though, what has been the impact outside of, so when you think about like creativity, solving problems, getting people to like a happy experience, or I'm you know, over the top thrilled with my experience because you delivered on that value. What's that impact when you think about, because we all make money somewhere. It's not about the money, it's about the impact. What's the impact been for you specifically in being able to go at a local level, service that gap, and then realize that you've top graded the experience for somebody?
Like, on a personal note, what's the impact?
Yeah.
I mean, so I get asked the question a lot, you know, do I prefer real estate or do I prefer having the staging company? And if I had to choose one, which one would I choose? I don't think I could ever choose just one. Real estate is my true passion, helping people navigate, getting their house ready for the market and getting it sold and moving to that next chapter of their life is like, that's my all time like passion. On the flip side, building a business that is providing a better quality of life for employees, because I worked in a lot of toxic small business environments, and being able to build that and put that structure in place where people use us and they sell faster for more money and agents are happy because they look like rock stars. That's like one of those, like, I would do it for free just because of the feeling that it gives me. It's allowed me to really be able to look at myself in the mirror and know that I'm here to help people and to make a difference. On multiple different avenues. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to sell your house. Like, there's just so much more to it. And so it's just been, it's definitely been a journey of like self-reflection of who I truly am and who I can actually become. And I'm really excited to see like 5 years from now, like to see that, Jen. I'm so stoked.
So let me ask you that question, because I was going to ask this, but you kind of actually said it. Who have you become?
Oh.
Like, who have you morphed into? Like, if you go from like caterpillar to butterfly, like who has Jen become because of that experience? Because it's not always roses and butterflies when it comes to like being your own boss, your own owner.
Yeah. I mean, I was the only child growing up, and my dad was sick a lot, so I had to take care of him, and the relationship between him and I were not like, it was not a father-son thing or father-daughter relationship. And then I kind of carried that into like young adulthood of just like, I was just alone and just by myself and just kind of going through the motions of life. And then I had my son when I was 21. And he kind of became my purpose in life. And I started, because I was serving tables and I did graphic design for a little bit before I found dentistry. And my son was really like that missing piece, I think, to give me the passion to push myself further than I ever wanted to. And now, like, looking back, like, I'm so thankful for all of those moments, because they helped shape me for who I am today. And they give me strength when I think back of like, there's no way I'm going to go back and be that stagnant person. There's no way I'm going to go back and just be this person that wakes up every day, goes to work and comes home to go to sleep. Like, I'm going to live life to my fullest. So it's just like, I'm thankful that I'm not her anymore.
Yeah, that's, I think we're all kind of thankful for the growth, but the journey and the recognition of it all, it just matters so much. And I think that it accelerates the growth, right? Because we can reflect and we can look back on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, Joe's called you a serial entrepreneur. And honestly,
that's wild to hear.
Right. And, but the truth of the matter is, because when I look at the conversation we're having from real estate to staging, but also on the staging is now becoming construction and rehab. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's become another business within the business. Right. So I think, right. So when he says, you know, you look at Jennifer 5 years from now, like, I would say, what is Jennifer's business map look like 5 years from now? Like, do you have, because there's intentional growth, right? So now that you've done this a couple of times, you're looking further ahead than just happenstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, 5 years from now, like, my services will be offered over multiple states. So right now we're just servicing Northern Virginia. We have traveled into a little bit of Maryland, like one or two over the last couple of years, one or two in DC. But in 5 years from now, like, I plan to be like DC, Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Like, I'm building an empire, and like, I've been saying that since I was like in my 20s. It's like, I'll have an empire one day. And people used to laugh at me. And like, not the good kind of laugh.
Where does that internal belief come from?
I don't know.
Joe doesn't like, I don't know. You can't say that. You got to come up with an answer.
I know. I just remember. So like, I think it started, if I really had to unpack it, probably when I bought my first townhouse and I was 24, single mom serving tables. And people were like, you can't do that. And I was like, watch me. And I did it. And I remember talking to one of the lenders that I interviewed, and I told him, I said, you know what? One day I'm going to own three houses, and I'm going to have the first two pay off my third one. And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, okay, that sounds great and all, but okay. And today in 2024, I own three houses and I have two rentals, and I cash flow on both of them. And I didn't go like the normal route of like buying the investment. I bought it, I lived in it, and I turned it into an investment property.
Yeah, you did it the right way.
I think somewhere along that line of somebody telling me that I couldn't do it kind of planted this like seed of like, okay, well, if I know I can do this, what else can I do? And having my son, I wanted, like, everybody talks about like, oh, I do it for my son or do it for my kids. I don't really do it for them per se. Like, I want to be happy. I want to have a great life. I want to live a good quality of life. But at the end of the day, I want to build something that can create generational wealth for my bloodline. And that was kind of like where I think the idea kind of started. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I had no clue it was going to be real estate. But I knew, I just, something internally told me that I was going to have something really big one day.
When you look at these things and your vision of growth, and I love that that's your personality of be like, dare me, question me, whatever, we'll see. Right.
I had a coach one time. Sorry. I gotta tell you, I had a coach, a MAPS coach one time, and we would be having something. And I'd be like, Ariel, I can't do this. She'd be like, I bet you can. Like, she knew right away, like the moment that she would be like, oh, you're right, you can't do it. And then like 2 weeks later, I'd have it done. So
that's kind of where I was going, right? So you don't do that. I mean, you can have a drive and a passion, but where do you go outside of that to kind of to grow, right? Who are you reaching out to? What conversations you're having, and where are you looking for inspiration?
Definitely the people in my office. I really do embody that whole like saying, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And so I like Sheila Quadros has been really pivotal in a lot of my life. Melinda Schnurr is a really huge mentor of mine. I look up to her. I mean, there's just so many agents in my office. I can't even begin to name all of them. And just like being able to walk the halls with them and them know my name makes me feel like I need to keep growing. I need to keep going. Because if people who I never thought I would be in the room with me, like, I can't stop. So I just have to keep going.
It's a thirst for
One of the things I think is really important with for anybody's, like, the thing I'm taking away from Jennifer's discussion on this has a lot to do with being competitive. And I think that what's interesting about that is, like, she brought up somebody saying that you couldn't do it. And I think a lot of stories that you hear within entrepreneurs is there's an internal competitiveness. And I think that even in my hiring now, in my leadership teams and things like that, now I'm starting to look for just internal competitive. Like, if you're not competitive, you probably need, there's probably a role, great role for you, but you're not at the front center of, like, sales and leading an organization, because if you don't enjoy competitiveness, it usually means you don't enjoy pressure. And if you can't handle both of those, like, there's, you're probably going to fail at entrepreneurialism, mainly because there's always going to be somebody competing with you, always somebody telling you no. Because we always hear this, at least in the office, is 9 out of 10 times you make a phone call, you're going to get a no. So your tenacity to persevere and be competitive to say, like, I will make this happen, I think is one of the key areas to be successful as an entrepreneur. And whether or not you knew you were saying that, listening to your dialogue on that, Jennifer, has been like, okay, tell me I can't do it and I'm going to show you what I can do.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a, it says it in different ways with different people's journeys and word choices, but at the end of the day, it really comes down to that fundamental belief in oneself.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I grew up playing sports. So, like, you always, like, you can have competitiveness and have it be good. Like, I think some people think so negative when they hear about the words like competitive or accountability, where I get excited when I hear those words. So I think that you're dead on of, like, the mindset around something has a huge part of it. If you're going to be a business owner and trying to do your own thing, like, your mindset has to be clear. Like, you have to have something that's defined, a goal to reach towards, and keep pushing. That's exactly right.
You know, and I was starting to ask, and for those of you that are watching and not just listening, we had a little technical difficulties, and Jen and I are now on the same camera. But that's the one good things of sharing an office and doing the interview in the same space. What advice are you going to give to somebody who says, hey, I have the passion that Jennifer has, but I don't know where to start?
Oh.
What are the some of the biggest hurdles that, now that you've come through some of this on the other side, they would say, be on the lookout for this?
I think that's such a good question.
We're good at what we do.
Yeah. There's so, like, it's so much to unpack, and it's like, you got 30 minutes. Like, no, I need like 3 hours.
Well, I'll allow you to run long.
Yeah. So I think for me, one of the things that really launched everything so quickly is I said to myself that I was going to say yes more than I said no. And if I felt like I had to say no, I wanted to come up with an alternative answer instead of no, which is something that I carry to this day of, like, when we're doing our lunch and learns at brokerages and I'm like, hey, like, if you have a need, call me and ask me what it is, like, tell me what it is, and I'm going to either make it happen or I'm going to find somebody who can. I'm not going to tell them, no, sorry, I can't help you. So I think anyone out there that's been dreaming about starting their own business in any field should really just try to have that mindset of say yes. And if you can't say yes, say how. Don't say no. That, I think, would be my message.
I like that.
And if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Because I feel like that's the other thing too. I have really big dreams and they're really scary.
But they drive you.
But I accomplish them, yes. And then they get bigger and then bigger and then bigger.
This is a lot about you as a person.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, everybody, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate your candor and your journey and sharing all this, because it's been, from somebody that kind of has worked with you to kind of watch it, it's been inspirational.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
So thank you for joining us on this episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. And I think this will be impactful for everybody listening at home.
I hope so.
Take care, Jennifer.
Thanks.